You're listening to the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time. All right, buddy, everybody, buddy, hey, buddy, everybody, welcome back to the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. Hard Rock and Metal Circus with my co-host Lily V6 and Keith the Hawk Hawkins. We are talking tonight. Tonight's topic is crazy concert lineups. So, you know, if you've been to a show where it was like Jimi Hendrix and Lawrence Welk or some crazy stuff like that, you know, chime on in. We're going to be comparing notes. We had a Facebook post this week on it. We're going to talk about some of your picks on it, as well as we pulled some ones that from rock history that are pretty interesting and a lot of fun. So we're going to have a good time talking about that. You are listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, Hard Rock and Metal Circus. LudiniRockandRollCircus.com is the website. Check it out often. Please go there. When you hear the podcast that you like, please share them around. When you share the podcast, that gets the promotion going for the artists that we always feature. We feature a lot of great hard rock and metal artists, more on the indie side of life here. Some that are a little more well-known, but most of them don't have that much traction in mainstream media at all. So this is a great opportunity for you, as a fan of great hard rock and metal, is to press that share button. Press that share button and get the word out about the great bands that you are hearing on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. The other thing I want you to do there is there's a little button for our merchandise. Okay, so we want you to buy a little merchandise. Helps us out, shows us that you love us, and helps keep the lights on here at the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. So, with that being said, you can do all that at LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. Okay, we have a great show lined up for you tonight. We are going to be featuring music by these bands. We've got Aboleth, we've got Conquer Divide, we've got Shaman's Harvest, and Molasses, Pittsburgh Zone, Molasses Barge. So it's going to be a great show, great bands. So hit that share button, get the promo going. So let's go ahead, before we start playing music and stuff like that, let's go around the room. Lily, what's up? You want to say hi to the audience? You got something going on?
Hi, audience. Do you want me to do the thing I wanted to do?
Do the thing you want to do.
All right. Well, I got a couple shows coming up that are kind of important. First is going to be the Rock for Vets show. It's going to be at that Karma. It's a new club, Karma, stage at Karma in the South Side. It's for a good cause. They've got Brett Staggs, Elk Hound, Orange Mammoth, God's Green Apples, Royal Honey, 13 States, The Shiners, and Stone Cold Killer.
The Shiners.
It's a $10 minimum. It's a donation. We're also going to have raffles, and I'm emceeing. So, of course, you want to come see me.
Master, mistress of ceremonies, and Hawkster, Keith the Hawk Hawkins, all the way down there in New Orleans. What's up, buddy? What's going on with you today?
You know, man, I'm living a dream right here. It's 95,000 effing degrees every day. It's like living on the sun. But you know what? I'm rolling out a gig this weekend in Mississippi. I had no idea where I was at. I heard banjos and shit playing. But
Oh my god!
You kind of have a pretty mouth, Keith. I mean, I'm just
gotta watch your butt.
That's none of your business. But anyway, got some other things coming up. Doing some recording in the future, and then you know things are looking up, man. So
all right, cool. So we're gonna go. We're gonna talk more. We're gonna hear more about the lives of Keith and Lily here coming up soon. But first, let's rock out to a band. This is Aboleth on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus.
I've dealt with dames like you before. I've dealt with dames like you before. Cocktail brought so got me howling on the floor. Ooh.
That's strange.
What in the hell? Well, now, hold on a minute.
Damn it! They make this too hard.
They make this entirely too hard, Lily.
Yummy.
So what's everybody doing today? We're having a really good time listening to the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. That is Aboleth, and that is a band that I got to check out a few weeks ago at the, that very cool place, the Smiling Moose.
Oh, yeah. I like yes. that place.
And I'm going to go ahead and give you guys the, check these guys. You can go to abolethband.com and just do everything that they have going on. You know, buy some stuff and...
like and share things.
Yeah, like and share. Yeah, please share the podcast. But check them out because it's a great, cool, bluesy, hard rock. It's a three-piece band, guitar, drums, and lead singer. They do a good job. They put on a hell of a show. Really enjoyed them. So Aboleth, what is it again? Abolethband.com.
Easy enough.
Oh, so crazy, crazy concerts.
Aye.
Concert lineups. So who wants to jump in? Who wants to start first?
I can start first.
Yeah.
Or Keith can start first. Here's one of the ones that I saw, and I don't know. I guess, I don't know. I just thought it was weird. It was Kid Rock and Aerosmith. I don't think they really match.
Really?
Yeah.
Where was that at?
What's that?
Where was that at?
Star Lake.
I remember when they came.
And it was Run DMC. I got the Run DMC part so Run DMC could come out and play with Aerosmith, but then Kid Rock. And I just thought it was odd that Kid Rock was there, too.
No, that Kid Rock's a role for he'll just do whatever.
Yeah.
He's a ultimate rock.
You know what? I heard, here's one, just to riff off the Kid Rock thing. Friend of mine went, a guy I know, I shouldn't say I call him a friend, he's definitely not a friend, went to see Kid Rock and David Allan Coe opened.
Interesting.
Now that's a kind of strange bedfellows.
David Allan Coe is really tame anymore, too. I've seen him.
You ever heard his Dirty albums?
Yep.
I was this country band. I was looking for David Allan Coe on New Year's Eve one year, and a dude come out and played, and it was awful. He left before 12 o'clock. Heard a place before.
No, I think yeah, probably I mean, live. He's really elderly, and I think that probably live. He's 15, probably.
This is 15 years ago. The band.
He was elderly 15 years ago.
He looked at him on that road. Anyway, he played till like 11:15, and then he bailed, and everybody was just mad. It was a bad thing. I left because I was fearing for my life.
Where was that? Was that the Pepsi Roadhouse?
Yes.
Yeah. I've had some interesting experiences there.
I have never been there. I've never been to Pepsi Roadhouse. I didn't think I was.
They have a lot of like bands that are like, you know, first word Lou, last word sir. You know, just like they're like done, they're over. You know, and, you know, they have that fan base from 60 years ago that goes, like, I'll tell you my Pepsi Roadhouse story. I opened for Tanya Tucker. Okay, so those are the kind of acts that they have at the Pepsi Roadhouse. The Outlaws, you know, like, bands like that. That, like, you know, I mean, like, God bless them. And, it, like, they love music and they're still playing. God bless them. But just, like, that's what they got there. Keith, go ahead. Crazy concert lineup.
I'm going to start with a couple that I've seen myself, right, the whole things I've researched that were kind of whack to me.
Mm-hmm.
One that I've seen in the late 90s, Primus was the headliner and the opening act was, ready for this, the Meat Puppets.
What?
And
really?
It was, I love Primus, and I don't know who put that little sick, twisted little plot together, but the Meat Puppets sounded good. I don't know any songs by my new Backwater, and that was pretty much it. They were getting shit thrown at them. They were getting heckled. Aww. I mean, they were having a rough.
That sucks.
I never like to see that, man. Like, I just...
It was brutal. I mean, the next one I have is more brutal, but it was a brutal... It was just an odd pairing. And Primus has that cult following, man, where them guys are hardcore, and it's just they weren't dealing with it.
Right.
What do you guys think about this lineup? And speaking of people getting booed and stuff thrown at them, Bryan Adams and Journey, you think they would go together, kind of, right?
I mean, sort
80s
of. Yeah,
rock
yeah, yeah.
hits. But I know some friends of mine went to that show and told me that Bryan Adams got booed off the stage.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because everybody's there to see Journey.
That's so sad. I hate
yeah,
that.
You know, I mean, this was in Bryan. Bryan Adams had just broke with Cuts Like a Knife.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me. I remember at that time, it was like 83 or whatever, I'm going, kind of scratching my, I had long hair at the time, scratching my long hair and going like, I don't get it. I don't know why they would, you know, because to me, they played on DVE. We're going to reference WDVE once in a while, or that's the big rock station here in Pittsburgh. We're from Pittsburgh. But they got played on DVE back to back all the time. Like, you know, why it would be a problem. I was like, you can listen to the radio and listen to those two bands. Like, don't go see them live together.
Obviously, that's not a thing.
You know what I mean? But here's one that came up on a lot of the, if you do a little Google search on this topic, one that's very famous that everybody knows is Jimi Hendrix and the Monkees. And yeah, I mean, right, you know.
I just can't fathom it.
It's kind of funny.
It was in 67.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and I want to talk about this because there was a lot of this in the 60s and 70s. And you got to realize this is the Woodstock era. And if you look at the Woodstock lineup, I mean, you had Jimi Hendrix and you had Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Young. No, Crosby, Stills, and Nash. No, Young. And who played acoustic. So it was a time where they were, you got to understand, Jimi Hendrix was on the radio, he was on AM radio, just like the Monkees were. So a promoter's thinking was probably like, well, they're both pop acts.
And why not?
Why not? You know? And I think there was a slightly more openness to different sounds because, I mean, a lot of people liked a lot of different music in that sort of hippie vibe. But anyways, that aside, Lily, got another one you want to chime in with?
I do. It's another one that I saw. It was Macy Gray opening for Santana.
See, I don't see that as all that strange. It's something weird happened.
I don't know. I just thought it was a weird lineup because, I don't know. It was when Santana came out with his newest, I guess, album. But I don't know. I didn't think the music really matched Macy Gray. And then
how was the audience?
It was packed there.
No, I mean, how did people react?
They didn't really react strangely to it. I was also, like, you know, 17, I think. But, you know.
What do you got, Keith?
Okay, another one I see with my own eyes was in the old Civic Arena. And these, on paper, this doesn't seem that much of a mismatch. But if you were there and you've seen how much abuse this band took, Stone Temple Pilots opened for Megadeth when I seen them.
Oh.
Now, Stone Temple Pilots were on their first tour, I believe, because they only had the core album out. They might have did 35 minutes, maybe. The metal fans don't want to hear Plush, man. They were really giving it to Weiland and just booing.
I could get that, and because metal is like, metal's metal.
Yeah,
you don't fuck with, yeah. Excuse me, you don't mess with metal. Nope. Like, you don't, you know, people want to hear metal, they come shift to hear metal, you better play freaking metal, you know. And if Stone Temple Pilots would have been, you know, that alternative kind of, you know, classic rock based sound,
mm-hmm.
I could see where people would be kind of itchy about that. I think in retrospect, our minds kind of tend to be, we kind of tend to be here. I think the three of us are kind of like, all three of us like a lot of different music.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's easy for us probably to kind of go like, well, why not? But yeah, I could see where that could be. Because, like, there are certain metal fans who like only like this kind of metal.
And that's it.
And that's it. Yeah. Like, if it's not thrash or if it's not death or it's not whatever, then it sucks.
It's not for them.
We need to do a podcast on the different genres of metal.
I agree.
And dissect that and talk about that. So that'd be a good podcast for the future. But you want to talk a little bit, what happened? You want to talk a little bit more about that? Was it, did they quit or what happened?
I thought they sounded good. And I actually knew a couple of their tunes. They knew, you know, like Sex Type Thing plus Cracker Man, songs like that. And that was a couple tunes on their record I think they played live and I thought really came across well. But it was just one of those things where the metal fans just didn't want to hear it. And basically, I think Scott Weiland actually, at one point between songs, actually said, I count how many people give him the finger between songs. So, you know,
David Crowe chimed in. He said, Def Leppard and Kiss was weird to me.
I don't agree that that's weird, because I think anybody would really open up for Kiss or the other way around, honestly.
Well, I mean, you got to realize it. Rush and Kiss toured.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't think it's ever odd whoever's with Kiss. I just don't.
So
unless it was Megadeth.
Megadeth and Kiss. I think it would. There would be a Megadeth. I think that, like,
there would be
like a war on stage. They would fight each other. So what do you got, Lily?
One I saw, and I won tickets to this, was Cool and the Gang opened for Van Halen. at console.
Yeah.
Kevin,
my original host, he went to that.
I just thought it was the strange. Yeah, like, nobody reacted badly. But yeah, he said.
I was like, Kevin, did people like start like freaking out and cooling? He goes, no.
No, everybody was super mellow.
And he said, "Cool and the Gang sounded good."
They sounded really good. But it was just the strange. I'm like, really? Like when I won the tickets and went and picked them up, I'm like, wait a minute, what?
Wait, these are like, the wrong tickets.
That's totally strange. I remember reading that in the paper the next day because I wanted to hear how Van Halen sounds. And when I read that, I thought it was a misprint. But I read something into that. David Lee Roth handpicked them to start the show.
Really?
He picked them to be the opening act.
Wow. I just thought that was insane that he would pick them. Like it didn't work for me.
Definitely
but,
a strange bedfellow, if you will. But that's definitely an odd pairing right there.
Good show, though.
So we posted on Facebook this week. We're going to come back and talk about the Facebook post in a minute because some are pretty funny. We're going to play another band. This is Conquer Divide, female fronted, metal band, hard rock / metal band. Metal fans, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset you. But check it out. Conquer Divide, What's Left Inside on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus.
I'm not afraid to say the words. It was right under my face. cool game.
All right, that's it. What the hell's going on here?
What's going on here is the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus there, guys. Check it out. LudiniRockandRollCircus.com is the website. Hit that merchandise little store up in the right-hand corner and share the podcast around, guys. If you're loving bands that we're playing tonight, this gets them a little promo, and that's what we're all about. You can go to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus 2 to get LudiniRockandRollCircus.com to get more info. We opened the show with Aboleth, and we just heard Conquer Divide, and I'm going to go ahead and give you their website, Conquer Divide. It's right now there is not an official... like a .com Conquer Divide. So it's facebook.com/Conquer Divide. Check them out. Great band. Love them. Played them several times now on the podcast. And so tonight's topic, crazy concert lineups. I'm just going to go ahead and we did a Facebook post earlier about this. And I want to kind of reach out to some of the folks that that chimed in on this. So... Jeff, this is interesting, Keith. Check this out. Jeff Gardner posted, back in the 80s, Slayer and Stryper toured together.
Do you believe that?
Is that like really Jesus and the devil hanging out or something? Like, what's that?
That's sick. Insane to me.
That's sick, actually.
Alan Spangler said, REO Speedwagon and Ted Nugent in 2001... I was there to see the Nuge. I suffered through a bunch of 40-somethings reliving their teenage years. I should have bought earplugs or a ton of alcohol, but Ted put on a good one. Rob Verone, Hermits, and The Who. The Who were openers, and Pete Townsend used to feel bad about Peter Noone having to walk out on stage afterwards amongst all the rubble. Andy Sipa says, my first concert was at the Civic Arena was... Jimi Hendrix and the Monkees. And then he posted a link to... I'm going to go ahead and give you guys a taste of this. Check this out. This is really fun. I don't know, about 10, 15 years ago, Pat Boone did an album called In a Metal Mood. And
that's true.
Check out this his version of... Crazy Train after the stupid freaking commercial.
Of course, we have a commercial.
Here, let's open it up on YouTube.
I'm already loving it.
You okay, Keith?
did he fall?
You all right, Keith?
I think I know proper better for that.
This is Pat Boone doing Crazy Train from In a Metal Mood.
Crazy.
Really?
Hey, but that's how it goes.
Millions of shit.
People living as fools. Maybe it's not too late to learn how to love and forget how to hate. Mental wounds not healing.
What do you think of that, Keith?
That's classy.
He's really crooning there.
Yeah, there's some croonage going on there. But anyway, so I want to thank everybody that jumped in. And Ken Wilkes says, beware, Facebookers. This is just a trap so everyone can find out your age. Ken, thank you. That was probably the funniest post on the whole thing there.
That.
So we appreciate that, guys. I think we have a few more here.
Well, I went to the concert with Jason, so yeah, obviously he knows about
it. Francis... Crasher says David Bowie and Nine Inch Nails, but I'm sorry, like I think that kind of works because Bowie is kind of new.
Got into that. He was doing electronic stuff too. If you listen to a bit like the album like Earthling or something like that, he was definitely trying to get into the modern era with that kind of sound. That was good too.
Michael Kriviansky says, check this one out, guys. Now check this out, Keith. Check this. Listen, Lily. Check this out.
I see it.
Check it out.
I see
Carole
it.
King and Joan Jett. Really? I mean, some promoter said, like, okay, they're both popular female singers. But let's put them on a bill together.
They're a little bit different, though.
No, just a wee bit different. Just a wee bit different.
I'm enjoying the accent right
now.
Sometimes the headlining act has some say in what's going on. I don't know who's headlining that, but remember when Ravi Shankar opened for the Beatles at one time?
Yeah, but it's the frickin' Beatles. The frickin' Beatles.
Well, Ravi Shankar set up their place the shitty Beatles. For 5 hours.
Are there shitty Beatles?
You know what I mean? So, I mean, people were like probably getting a little bit tired of the sitar. I mean, how much sitar can you take?
I want the guitar,
not the sitar.
Hey, check this out. Keith, you and Lily both get a kick out of this. David Blair posted this. He said, City of Pittsburgh used to allow local bands to perform on stage prior to movies in the park. That ended the time a band opening for Snow White worked strippers into their show.
I think that's fantastic. Disney strippers. I love that. That's what we need. I'm going to dress as Esmeralda from The Hunchback and strip. That's what I'm going to do.
So John Smith and Doug Blair went back and forth a little bit. So I appreciate you guys all like jumping in and chiming in and posting your thoughts on this stuff. It's a lot of fun. What makes the show, guys, is you. It's all about the fans, man. It's about having a good time, partying with you guys. And that's what it's all about. So anyhow, so Killy?
Killy? Is that my name?
If you combined Lily and Keith, it's Killy.
It's Killy. That's
so
cute.
Lily, what do you got?
Well, I'm done with the ones that I've gone to, but one of my friends helped me out. He said he saw Joan Osborne open for Foreigner.
Yeah,
that's kind of
like it's like 7 decades apart and different styles.
That's messed up.
Mm. Yeah, I thought that one was strange when he told me about that.
Maybe Joan thought like I'll get in front of Foreigner's audience and I'll convert a whole new bunch of fans, but I don't think that would work. No,
I mean obviously I wasn't there. I don't know, but I just think that's a strange lineup.
Don't get me wrong, I like Joan Osborne. And
I've just seen Joan.
Did you? She was like hanging out in New Orleans. You bought her a few drinks.
She was playing at the club down on St. Claude, which is like a street down out of town a little bit. But there was a small venue there. Cafe Istanbul, and that's when I went to the Bernard Purdy show, but she was there singing like tunes with them, and she opened show, did an acoustic thing, then she came back on stage, and she was just put in a full night. She sounded really good, though, but I don't see her. That's kind of an odd mix, though.
Yeah,
you know, so.
I thought that was strange when he told me that. That was in 94, I guess.
What do you got, Hoxter?
Well, I obviously didn't see this one either, since I was born in 73, but in 1970, Miles Davis opened for Grateful Dead at the Fillmore West.
Huh.
That's messed up.
There's a, If you want to pull off historical stuff, Miles Davis opened for Steve Miller and Neil Young at the same time, and he was not happy about it. He was just like, "There's some great." If you Google it, guys, there's some hilarious comments from Miles Davis because, like, I mean, that's like Keith,
Chick Corea for Steve Miller band,
yeah.
I saw
Chick Corea open for Zappa Play Zappa. That was a little more in line. You know, that was a little more in line. But Steve Miller and Miles Davis was like, what are you thinking? But Miles, I mean, he did embrace the pop thing. I mean, he went to Monterey and saw Sly and the Family Stone, and it was like, wait a minute. I need to have a rock beat. I need to like do that boom, 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 four in the floor stuff because that's what the younger people are grooving to. And that's what kind of created jazz fusion when he did that and he released Bitches Brew. That's considered the first jazz fusion album of all time. And his forward thinking, his Miles is, I still don't think that him playing with Neil Young or Steve Miller is like really. What about, hey, did you hear about this? Buddy Rich opening for The Who?
Buddy Rich did?
Yeah, Buddy Rich opened for The Who.
Hmm.
That's kind of what, the orchestra? Like his orchestra?
Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I guess that was Keith Moon's idea.
Yeah.
Strange stuff is afoot here, guys.
Fair, huh?
All right, Lily, you want to jump in with a couple?
I just thought of one that I did see. I went to see Madonna with my sister, but Paul Oakenfold, that DJ guy that did all the crazy music that I can't stand, opened for her. And I was like, and everybody was dancing out in the crowd to this, and I'm just like sitting there like, okay. I guess maybe at the time it was probably cool because she did do like all that ravey kind of music stuff, like with some of that stuff. But first of all, I didn't enjoy the show. I'm sorry. I took my sister. I didn't enjoy it. I don't like Madonna. But I just thought that opening was just odd.
How about Jerry Lee Lewis opening for The Doors in 1969?
Which is a little odd.
Yeah, this Tom Kirk posted this on NoDepression.com, and he said it was not a good night for the Killer.
Well, you know, Johnny Cash went after Jerry Lee when they were both in their heyday on tour, and Jerry Lee, I think he set the piano on fire, and he told him, he was like, nobody follows the Killer, and Bill put that fire out.
Yeah.
Because he liked to play last, because he's a killer. But.
I opened for, what the hell is that band called, damn it? Crystal Method in Kentucky. I did. I don't actually play an instrument, but I was doing the grinding guitar, and I opened for them with that. It was like we did rock music before that, so I just thought that was that's odd to me.
Interesting.
Okay. Wait a minute here. how about Bob Seger opening for Queen?
Interesting. Yeah, when was that?
I don't know. Oh, there was okay. No date. This is from stevehoffman.tv. I guess Steve's a blogger. Okay, Keith, check this out. You want to talk about... You want to talk about... Stone Temple Pilots getting booed off the stage at Megadeth. How about this? Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
Iron Maiden opening for 38 Special in 1982.
Oh, man.
That's brutal, man.
Who in there? Did you even listen to those two bands before you, like made that
not good.
Up?
Like,
wow, that's crazy.
That's crazy. What about Casey and the Sunshine Band opening for Nazareth and Aerosmith?
Well, it needs a gig, man.
I have Beastie Boys opening for Madonna.
I was going to say that one now. I was going to, because we were on the Madonna kick, and like in 85, Beastie Boys came out and opened for Madonna. I'd have probably left after the Beasties forever, but that would have been cool.
Yeah.
What about Human League opening for Def Leppard?
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, that's freaking sick, too. Sometimes I wonder if you have to research it, but sometimes I wonder, do they put these bands together because they're on the same record label? Maybe somebody has a pop
it's
says, hey,
something like that too, for some of them.
We're trying to get this band jump started here. Could you like maybe let them open for you or vice versa or whatever? But I think sometimes it's not, you know, it's definitely not a pairing, but somebody at the top of the corporate ladder is saying, hey, Def Leppard or hey, Human League, you're going to let this band open for you. And that's the way it's going to be. And the next thing you know, they're on tour together.
What do you think about this? Black Oak, Arkansas opening for King Crimson.
No. Yeah, that's sick, man.
What's going on there? What's wrong with
Who
people?
Who thought of that?
Keith, what's wrong with people, please? I need help.
I know.
My brain's ready to explode.
in 81, I think it was somebody opened for, who the hell was it? The Outlaws opened for Black Sabbath. That's not right either.
What about P-Funk All-Stars opening for Bob Dylan?
No.
Like, those are completely different crowds. Like, really? Are you not, like, even paying attention?
I can't deal with that.
Well, I think from New Orleans, I think the Rebirth Brass Band opened up for freaking Elvis Costello because he had this whole, like, fascination with New Orleans music.
Yeah, sometimes the guy, people will do that. Mason Ruffner opened for U2. Mason Ruffner is like kind of a blues guitar player, and it was weird. It like didn't really work, but they were like, this is when they had discovered like American music, you know, because for years until they did the Joshua Tree, they were like, screw the big middle finger to like anything kind of blues based. How about the Judds and Neil Young?
I've seen Neil Young once, and it was a strange. I've seen him. Where the lineup was just odd. It was Neil Young, Crazy Horse. It was Blind Melon was in the middle slot, and Dinosaur Jr. was the opening band, if you remember that. It was a very
Let's
odd
just
pair.
Get, look, everybody's in town that night. Let's all
Let's
jam.
Let's just everybody get together.
What about this, dude? Now, this is a strange pairing. You know who the singer-songwriter John Prine is, right? You guys know who that is?
Yeah.
I don't know that.
So he wrote the song Angel from Montgomery.
Okay, okay.
But he opened for, in 72, opened for Mahavishnu Orchestra.
And why not? Obviously, it's okay, because everybody's doing some crazy things right here.
Atari, Teenage Riot, The Cardigans, and Beck.
I feel like The Cardigans and Beck go together.
Maybe. There's somebody that opened for, and I think I was talking, maybe I was telling you about this, Lily. There's somebody who opened for Don Rickles, and I'm trying to find that.
Oh, you did tell me last week, and I cannot remember who it is right now.
What's her name? She's kind of a punker. What is her name?
Patty Smith.
Patty Smith opening for Don Rickles.
Wow.
I mean, what kind of drugs were you taking?
I can't.
Madness and Pat Benatar.
That might be a record.
Whoa. Dude. Your favorite singer-songwriter of all time, Bruce Springsteen.
I saw this.
Opening for Ann Murray.
Yeah, I read that one.
Why?
I actually need
a reason for that.
Bo Diddley opens for The Clash. Mitch Ryder opening for The Plasmatics.
Oh, my God.
you get this one, Weird Al Yankovic opening for Missing Persons. That's a good one.
That's fun. I would go to that show.
Weird Al says he's thought that's good.
I love Weird Al. My original podcast host, Kevin, he's seen Weird Al like 5 times. He's apparently, it's a really good concert. You said you saw him. He does good live.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was
like
free.
The band is good. Yeah. Like, you know, they perform stuff really well.
Yeah, they could play a Bob Ramirez work on it. Got that cool Hawaiian shirt on it. You can lay down a groove. I mean, that's not a joke.
Wait a minute. What about this, Keith? How do you feel about this? Just give me your sort of thoughts, your impressions. Metallica opening for Twisted Sister.
They opened for Twisted Sister?
That's probably one of those ones where you, like, be a man. You go home and tell all your friends that, man, the opening act was just so better. That depends on what Metallica you see.
Well, I think, now there was no context given here, but I suspect that this is when Twisted Sister would, broke with, We're Not Gonna Take It, and the couple songs today that were really huge, and Metallica had a chance to probably get in front of a big audience by working with Twisted Sister. So, you know, somebody in their mind went, well, they're kind of metal, you know, so let's put them together.
I got a couple on the comments here. Scott Boyd from Silk 9, he said, Living Color opening for the Stones.
They did.
Yeah, and that's because that you want to talk about labels. That's because Mick Jagger had signed Living Color to his record label. That's why that happened. I remember hearing about that. That would be a strange show, though.
Yeah.
How about the Jam and Blue Oyster Cult?
That's not right either.
Okay, I'm glad it's not just me.
I don't know.
Smacking my bald head.
But Rage Against the Machine and U2 in 97.
Yeah. Just like.
Let's try to see who's more political. You got Bono. You got Zach De La Roca pissed off at the whole world. You know, it's kind of. I don't even know how they last on that tour. I seen Candlebox open for Rush. That was a little weird.
Yeah.
Okay, and that was at the arena, the arena. And Candlebox had all kind of sound problems. It was like one big feedback night. So I don't know.
Did you Lyle Lovett toured with Sting for a while?
Sting's a big.
But see, Sting is kind of like moved into that sort of album adult alternative.
Yeah.
And Lyle Lovett is kind of in the same kind of vein. And I guess somebody said that they saw that show and said that Lyle Lovett, Sting brought Lyle Lovett out to play with him at one point. Maybe. I don't know what to say about it.
Nowadays, Sting's reggae records with Shaggy, so I mean, whatever you gotta do, but
Sting is older than us, dude. He's like in his 60s. What is he doing? Calm down, Sting. You're drunk.
Yeah, he's just hanging out with Shaggy making reggae records, you know.
And why not?
Not the one from Scooby Doo. Well, Sting.
How about this? Public Enemy and Gang of Four and Sisters of Mercy. That's a weird bill. That's a very weird bill.
Did you get to this one? Jurassic 5 open for Dave Matthews Band.
I saw that.
Jurassic 5 hip hop band open for Dave Matthews. I don't know what's going on.
Lover Boy and ZZ Top. What do you guys think about that?
It's strange, but I guess it could work.
I would say like in the 80s when ZZ Top was doing their kind of like, you know, like drum machine stuff. Mm-hmm. Maybe with kind of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's the ZZ Top. I actually woke up the other day and I said, oh, that's ZZ Top. Oh, yeah, that's a nightmare.
Okay, what do you guys think about this lineup? Primus. Now, Primus,
I like it already.
Primus is a, like, they're kind of a wild card anyway.
Yeah.
Right? You could probably throw Primus in with anybody.
Usually they're with Clutch anymore, but yeah.
But check this out. Primus, Anthrax, and Public Enemy.
That
would be hip.
That would be...
I'd have been there.
Either really hip or really crazy.
The Public Enemy throws me off.
Cool.
You go to that, but you buy that ticket just to show that, like, you're completely open-minded and you groove to everything.
I was at a festival one year with Lenny Kravitz, Soul Coughing, and King Crimson were on the main stage.
Oh, my God.
Soul Coughing? Wow.
Soul Coughing was the first.
Did you say King Crimson?
Yeah, it was in 1990, probably 7 or 8. It was at the amphitheater in Burgestown, and it was called the Horde Festival, H-O-R-D.
I remember Horde.
Horizons of rock developing everywhere. Soul Coughing was on at, like, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. King Crimson was on after them, played 45 minutes, some of the best musicians on the planet, and nobody gave a shit.
Yeah. Well, I think we have to kind of be careful with the festival
scene.
Because festivals tend to be...
Yeah, that's the thing. Where,
you know what I mean?
Like,
whereas it's like, if it's just 2 or 3 bands opening, that's a little different. But the festival thing is a kind of like, it's that, let's all party together kind of vibe.
I went to Bonnaroo and saw Slayer and Imagine Dragons. So, yeah, that's why I didn't do the festival thing.
Oh, you went to Bonnaroo? You suck. I want to go so bad.
It's awesome. Topless bitches everywhere. I mean, girls everywhere.
From the woman on the podcast.
Sorry.
And they say I'm politically incorrect.
It was so much fun, dude.
This is a lot of fun, guys. Black Oak, Arkansas opening for Pink Floyd.
That's interesting.
They just like, Black Oak, Arkansas is like, we'll play for anybody.
Mr. Cartier.
Mr. Cartier. Ooh, ooh. Anyways, we're going to come back and wrap up here in a minute. But let's play. We're going to rock out with the last band. One more band. We're going to end with Molasses Barge. We're going to rock out to them on the way out. But let's do Shaman's Harvest. You said you saw them live recently.
I did. Saw them at Jurgles. They were really good. I really enjoyed that show.
I saw that you were going, and I'm like, why didn't I go to this?
But it was literally on a whim. I kind of just went.
Yeah, it's a very cool band. You know this band, right, Keith?
Yeah, I've heard about them.
I thought that you kind of turned me on to them. I thought you said that you were into them. But
anyways. I covered a song by a country band, believe it or not.
Oh, okay.
Want to be country.
Yeah.
You know,
I got you.
Newer country. We do one of their songs.
I got you. Okay, this is The Devil in Our Wake, Shaman's Harvest on the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus.
Of your friends and family.
Hey, Ludini, rockandrollcircus.com. We were talking about booze and forgot to turn the microphones back on. So welcome back to the podcast, guys. And Keith, go ahead. What are you drinking again, buddy?
Rum.
Now, you didn't just say rum. You said a whole thing. As soon as you turn the mics on, you're like, oh, you can't talk now. What are you drinking? Come on, talk about what you're drinking.
I bought this bottle of it's called Bayou Spiced Rum. Mm. It's a little sweeter than Captain Morgan, which is, you know, but I bought it last week, and it's like a Louisiana-made rum, and I wanted to try it, and it's pretty good. It's a little sweet, but it's good. And I put a splash of iced tea in it just to chill it out a little bit.
I feel like I want to drink that next time I'm there.
What was those things you made us drink at Pat O'Brien's? The giant...
The hurricanes.
First of all, I don't make you drink anything.
I don't think Keith twisted our arm at all to drink.
There's all kinds of arm twisting. You were like, we would get up in the morning. Man. Lily and I were like, get up in the morning. We wanted to read our Bibles. And Samantha and Keith were like, no, you have to go drinking.
Here, this shit.
That is a bunch of goddamn lies, and I'm sorry.
We were like, we wanted to have a prayer meeting, and Lily and Samantha were like, Keith were like, no, you're going out day drinking.
Samantha goes, do you want a Bloody Mary? Yes. Why are you asking questions? Just bring that here.
But anyhow.
Yeah, no, you know. Anyway, at the Pat O'Brien's, Hurricanes is the drink of
That was amazing.
I will die over more than one.
First of all, it's like this big. It's like 6 feet tall. And I got like a third through it, and I was completely S-faced. Like, I was destroyed. But I drank the whole thing. And then you guys are like, let's get another one. I'm like, no. Let's get food. Then we'll do something else. I was like, OMG. That was some messed up stuff you made me
do. That was a great drink, except for I cannot have more than one because you guys will be dragging me out of a bathroom.
Well, I was telling a friend of mine, my girlfriend, about the Sazerac. Sazerac, right?
What's it called? That's the best goddamn drink ever.
Well, let me tell you, here's I'm going to explain this. Hey, Mickey, is it Mickey Hernandez?
No, Michelle Ann.
Sorry. Keith's like, you gotta try the Sazerac. Like, it was our last day.
Yeah, that was the last day.
And it, when you take the first sip or two, it's like a combination of NyQuil and cough medicine. But as you drink it, you go like, this isn't too bad. And then you're like, this is gone.
Because alcohol happens.
And you are like S-faced again. And this was a small drink, like this thing. This
was a little glass.
This was not like a giant. It's not like the hurricane, which is like
I smelled
as big
I
as my head,
it.
You know. Yeah. There was no way I could drink. Yeah, but that was crazy, but that was a good drink. I've been hankering for Sazerac, so.
Yeah, that's where they put that absinthe in.
Oh, absinthe. Okay, that's why I was hallucinating on the plane on the way home.
You were exactly. Sleeping. Get the hell out of here. You were taking a nap.
I was like,
with that weird girl next to us.
I know, man. This chick.
She went and changed in the bathroom for like 45 minutes.
Yeah, she came out looking pretty. Kind of spiffy.
Well, I think she was having a little booty call.
Yeah, she flew for a booty call.
I've done it.
Wow. Whoa, do tell.
Oh, okay. Well, when I was living in Miami, I didn't like my boyfriend anymore there, so I came up here and took a weekend of total bliss.
Booty call.
And it was fantastic. But I would be out with my sister drinking, and the guy would text me and be like, all right, I gotta go. Time to go.
No, get out.
I've done it. Miami to Pittsburgh.
How's that sound?
We're not off to a very good start.
Damn it. What in the hell?
That's
It was some of the greatest sex I've ever had.
What? You had the great sex?
I did have that.
And you didn't do it on the podcast?
I did not do it on the podcast. This is like 8 years ago now. 9 years
sugar.
Ago.
All right, guys. We're going to wrap up. Ludini, rockandrollcircus.com is the website.
Going off the bells again.
Get yourselves a little merch. Merch is good. Get a little merch. And share the podcasts, guys. When the interviews, there's a wide variety of stuff. And I know you guys are mostly hard rock and metal. But if you're like Lily and Keith and I, you probably secretly... like a little singer-songwriter stuff, maybe like a little dancey stuff, maybe like a little jazz, maybe you like some Christian music. There's all kind of stuff there. So if you hear an artist you like, just share it around, because this really helps those guys, get a little promo. So share the podcast, buy a little merchandise, LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. Lily, anything you want to plug before we rock out of here?
Nope, I did the band earlier. I guess I'll do Rock Rage Radio.
You did the band?
I always do the band. Groovy from way back. Anyway, go to RockRageRadio.com to listen to my show Thursday nights at 6 to 8. You'll hear a lot of Pittsburgh bands, but other stuff too. So,
Keith's in a new band. Well, how's that going, buddy? Oh, Tim Matus, Guitar Gallery. Tim Matus is watching. What's up, brother? Good to see you, buddy. Good. Go ahead, Keith. What's up?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out. Fortunately, we lost a power metal.
Oh yeah, we didn't do your contest tonight.
Well, I wanted to talk about Vinnie Paul from Pantera, 54 years old. I really don't even know how he died at this point, but just, I haven't heard the reports. But I mean, when it comes to power metal, Drugs. Pantera was, you know, Drugs. The band. Don't say that. You don't know that. I mean, is that true? I don't know.
I don't know.
We don't know yet.
I told you. I just like say whatever comes to my mind. God.
I mean, this song's like, you know, to me, like one of my favorite songs, but like the drum part becoming off, you know. It's just one of those songs that just really did it for me to hear him play. Like, it's nice technically, but grooving at the same time. I still like all his double kick playing on a lot of the songs. I think he was just tasteful, didn't get too overtalked with it, but he could also groove really good. And he'll be missed. This is just a great metal drummer.
What did you think of Damage Plan?
I seen Damage Plan at Ultra Bar. One of my buddy's bands was opening for him, Serpent Lord, actually. And Damage Plan, I think, was a little too over the top for me with that creamy vocal style.
All right.
I didn't like them.
You prefer Phil Anselmo's vocal style.
Well, Phil could scream, but he could also sing at the same time. So I wasn't really, you know. I like Pantera.
Pantera's
one of the best metal all time.
Yeah. Shout out to Jason Pinkney and Tom Proctor. Appreciate you guys watching. So Vinnie Paul, good like, how did you feel about his drumming?
I just said he was a great metal power metal drummer. It's one of the best, I think, modern day metal.
I thought that Pantera did very cool stuff with like grooves. You know, they could like, you know, that. They just had that. They weren't quite thrash metal. They weren't like the Anthraxes, you know, Slayer kind of stuff. There was a little. There was something kind of soulful about what they did. I don't know. Maybe.
I gravitate more towards like groove drummers. I mean, I like technical, busy kind of drummers sometimes, you know. But it's like if I'm in the mood or whatever. But the guys I really, really listen to are influenced by our groove drummers, and I think he grooved really well. And I think groove is where it's have all the chops you want, but if you ain't groove, then what the hell's what's the deal?
Groove is in the heart. Yep.
Did you really just
sorry, it just came to my head. anything else, Keith, you want to add before we get out of here? Do you want to do your little contest? Keith came with a little contest. You need to go.
We're gonna debut tonight.
In the future. Remind me earlier, because we really kind of needed to. We should have done this a little earlier, so don't be afraid to kind of rein me in. It's okay, I appreciate that. But Keith has came up with are we calling this a contest? What are we doing?
What I'm gonna do I'm not saying every week. I don't know if I'll get to that. I mean, but like once in a while, I'm going to throw out two songs, and I want to have people just judge them. So it's just in this corner we have this song. In this corner we have this song. Which one of these songs, when you hear it on the radio, will make you want to drive into oncoming traffic and kill yourself? That's how messed up they are.
Okay, so we got driving into oncoming traffic songs. Go ahead.
Yeah. So today's, we have in this corner, we have the classic Don McLean, American Pie. Holy hell, is that song ever going to end? Still going, I think.
Still going. Yes, it is.
And in this corner, we have the record of Edmund Fitzgerald by the Canadian soulster, Gordon Lightfoot. One of those two songs come on, you could probably drive 1,000 miles still on. I mean, the songs just go and go and go and go. So when you hear those songs on the radio, which one makes you want to drive in oncoming traffic?
Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. No, you prefer, you hate American Pie. What do you like?
If I had to pick, I mean, I don't know, neither.
You like them both?
I know, I don't like either one of them.
Oh, you hate them both.
That's the fucking point. They're too long, you know what I mean? They're just not, I don't want to hear them that much.
Well, the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald is like kind of a dirge. You know, it's a kind of sad song about...
Yeah, it's a dirge. That's why it makes you want to drive into a friggin' gas truck coming down the street at 80 miles an hour. That's all I'm saying.
And there we go. Farting.
Yeah, I get you. I feel like, what do you think? What do you think, Lily?
I'd pick American Pie because I just cannot stand that song anymore. I've heard it too much. I'm over it. Blah, blah, blah.
I like American Pie.
I don't like it anymore.
I like it. I
just it's too long.
It don't bother me. Long doesn't bother me.
I will turn it off every time.
I'll bet it don't, there, Freddie Mercury.
It just doesn't bother me.
The other one I haven't heard as much.
Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. Like, I actually, funny because you mentioned it, because I actually heard it the other day, and I'm like, yeah, this is really like.
Yeah, it just goes and goes. Like, just, oh, come on.
Well, I mean, it's a subject matter, too. It's just like, you know.
Pressing.
It's just, yeah, it's a story about this, like, horrible thing that happened, you know, like, in gruesome detail. Nah, it's not. I don't know. It ain't my thing. If you love Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, go F yourself. That's all I have to say.
Wow, and you can go straight to hell, obviously.
I will go straight to hell. I was going straight to hell like a long time ago. Like, that didn't.
Well, you're not taking my throne there, so you'll be sitting lower than me on my throne.
Can I sit on the right side of you in hell?
I guess.
Oh, yay!
Don't be taking my throne, though.
Keith is Jesus man himself. He's going to right to heaven, so he won't even be there, so. Lily and I will be partying with...
Have a good time. It's going to be hot.
I mean, all it's, hot I'm just telling the truth, honestly.
Keith, anything you want to plug before we get out of here, buddy?
Oh, man, I'm just, you know, living the dream, bro, every day.
All right, brother. Blessed.
In your 90,000-degree weather on the sun.
It's hot. You know, it's hot, hot, hot.
It is hot down here. Every damn day is the same. It's either rains or peak. Then it's 100 degrees for a week.
That sounds
pick up your damn
about here right now. It's been super hot here. It was, like
it was hotter dirty. It was here one day. I'm not
what are you doing? Why are you playing with all the
things? All right, guys. We're going to get out of here. We really appreciate you guys hanging out with the Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus. And you can get... All right, that's enough. You can go to LudiniRockAndRollCircus.com. Click the merch, the store on the right, upper right-hand side of the screen, and share the podcasts around. Let people know about the great bands that we are performing. We've been featuring here on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Special thanks to my co-host, Keith the Hawk Hawkins and Lily V6. And they're friendly guys. They're cool. They're cool people. Friend them on Facebook. Follow what they got going on. Keith is playing in bands, doing all kind of cool stuff in New Orleans. Lily is a wildly successful DJ on Rock Rage Radio.
Doing a lot of emceeing right now.
Doing a lot of emceeing. Highly requested. If you come to the Pittsburgh area, go check out one of her shows. It's a lot of fun. It's not to be missed. Okay, guys, thank you so much for hanging out with the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We're going to wrap up with a band that I caught earlier, like in the spring here in Pittsburgh. They were playing Fist Fight in the Parking Lots CD release, and they're called Molasses Barge. Great sort of what do we call this music? Not doom. Yeah, kind of doomy stuff. Very cool. Bone Chills, Molasses Barge, and I'm gonna go ahead. Let's go ahead before I rock out of here. I want to go ahead and plug all the bands. We had Aboleth. They opened AbolethBand.com. Conquer Divide, Facebook.com/Conquer Divide. Shaman's Harvest, you can go to shamansharvest.com. And Molasses Barge is going to take us out. Molassesbarge.bandcamp.com. What's cool about Bandcamp is you can listen to the music, you can buy the stuff. If you like any of these bands, please patronize them. Pick up a t-shirt. Pick, do a download. It's going to cost you like a buck. Show them a little love. These are the bands that are keeping great rock alive. So we're going to rock out tonight. We're going to get out of here with Molasses Barge. Guys, thanks for hanging out. Thanks to Lily V6, Keith the Hawk Hawkins. We'll catch you guys in the next Ludini Hard Rock and Metal Circus.